right baseline.
Well, I know DiVincenzo expected Rudy Gobert to be back there, and he wasn't. Butler took advantage of it.
Kuminga down the left side, but doesn't have numbers. Throws it out to Butler. Drives on Gobert, bags him out of the way, goes up left-handed, scored, and got fouled! Jimmy Buckets!
Jimmy Butler went Jimmy battering ram mode. He just took that left arm and used it as a shield, not Gobert, out of the way.
The shot clock is at 16. As Butler with a right-hand dribble between the legs once, twice, three times. Now goes left on Naz Reid. Ball knocked away. Goes right to Draymond in the right corner. Back to Butler, who relocates on the left wing. Takes the three and hit it! He's unbelievable sometimes.
Wow. To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. I got all kinds of stuff to say about this. Jimmy Butler, man. Jimmy Butler, to me, keeps a very, very special place in my fandom heart. And last week did not change that at all. We can further discuss. I do want to tell everybody real quick this. Tonight is the Dwight Clark Legacy Series. And we were there broadcasting live last year. Mm. This is an incredible event.
Awesome.
And I don't say that for any other reason, not even about like what they'll present and who's going to be there. For me, it's more about where the proceeds go. And basically the uniqueness of what this 49ers foundation kind of does, which is it's a lot of the players taking care of the former players. And we don't need to go too deep. I think sports fans, you know what like life after football looks like for a lot of guys, especially the ones who might only played for 4 years or didn't have a guaranteed deal or whatever, but they still put their bodies through all that. There are some stories that aren't so great, right? They don't all look like Steve Young and Joe Montana when they're done. So that's kind of what this is all about, but it's also an amazing event. And for the first time ever at the Dwight Clark Legacy Series tonight, all bidding for the silent auction will be online. So you don't need to actually be there at the event to be involved in this. So if you can't make it, you can still support the event and Dwight's favorite cause. So anyone can join at DwightClarkAward.com. Now that said, there's also still about 30 or 40 tickets available, and it is an intimate venue. Every seat is fantastic. You can see everything, and it's a very cool event. Great night filled with some great stories and surprises. And we'll give you one just like silent auction highlight, for example. There's a lot of must-have 49er memorabilia experiences, but how about for you Warrior fans? Golden State Warriors, luxury suite experience, plus exclusive broadcast booth visit. So if you are a Dub Nation fan or a member of Dub Nation, you get to watch the Warriors in style for luxury suite tickets to a mutually agreed-upon home game during the upcoming season. Private suite at Chase Center, you'll get VIP views, full catering, premium amenities as the Warriors bring the heat on the actual court, not necessarily against the heat. But that's not all. The experience includes a special in-game visit to the broadcast booth where you get to meet legendary humans like Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert to make the whole thing unforgettable and very, very behind the scenes. It is access, it is luxury, it is all things in one package. That's just an example of what you could bid on with the Dwight Clark Legacy Series. So again, DwightClarkAward.com, and you could do that from your couch tonight. So check it out. It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
They got giant stuff, meet and greet with Kruk and Kipe, got all kinds of 49ers memorabilia, road trip for Florida Clemson, the alma mater for Dwight Clark, all kinds of stuff in there. So go check that out again tonight, DwightClarkAward.com.
Yeah, super fun, and you know, sad that we're not there this year, but we are so locked in on the Warriors that we weren't sure if it was going to happen. But for those of us who want to still be a part of it, that's a great way to go about doing it.
Want to throw this out there. This is from ESPN's Get Up on Monday, just to wet the whistle a little bit. This is from Brian Windhorst, and it's on the back end of Jay Williams saying, hey, I know everyone's talking Spurs and Rockets for having the package to go after Giannis Antetokounmpo, but what if Giannis is like, no, I want to play with that guy, that number 30 guy. I want to play with Steph. Here's what Windhorst said.
Yes, there is a package that the Warriors could use. They have some future draft picks. They have interesting young players. Like last year, Brandon Podziemski was off limits. Who knows if that's going to be the case this year. But they can't win a bidding war. First off, I just want to say, agreed. Giannis has not let it be known. He certainly wants out of Milwaukee. So I do not think we should assume that. If we do reach that point where Giannis was going to look around, he will have agency in this. He has 2 years left on his contract. The Bucks don't have to listen to him. But if he were to come to Milwaukee and say, I want to play with Steph, there could be a deal worked out. The same would apply, in my view, to the Knicks or the
agreed.
Lakers.
Agreed, yes.
If he says, I want to be a Knick, send me to New York, or I want to be a Laker, these are big ifs, those trades could get worked out. But if it's just an open market, none of those three teams, in my opinion, could win a bidding war with the Bucks.
Okay, so that's an interesting way to set the table on this. And for me, that's kind of how I'm going to approach the Warrior offseason. If Giannis says that, okay, let's sit down. And basically the answer from the Warriors is, what do you need to make this work? Of course we'll take Giannis. Hello? Of course. Outside of that, to me, it's very wait and see. And I don't love that this seems to, for some, not all, this is spinning into a what happened over the last week and a half shows that Jimmy Butler is not good enough to be Steph Curry's other really good player on this team.
He's good enough to be the other good player, but when you lose Steph, and if Jimmy Butler is going to be the player that he was in the playoffs, and whether or not he was under the weather or the tailbone or whatever it was, that's not good enough. So when you lose your Batman, your alpha, if you have another guy who can be that, I think you're better off than if you have Jimmy Butler, who, by his own admission, is more likely to do the right thing basketball-wise than he is to try to force the issue. And so you look at, you know, Giannis. If you have Giannis and Steph, and if one of them goes out, your team is lesser, but the other guy who still is here is going to be more aggressive to try to be the number one scorer than Jimmy Butler
is. I have so many questions about this. Why is Giannis's performance in the playoffs the last 3 years not preventative?
I mean, his performance or the team's performance?
Because he's wildly disappointing. Like, in other words,
right.
What you just said about Jimmy Butler, I could say all the exact same stuff about Giannis.
You can.
You got knocked
you
out
say
in
that,
five.
But you couldn't say that Giannis took 8 shots in a game. Giannis tried his level best to be the guy, and he tried to be aggressive, and he tried to be the number one scorer. Whether or not he did the job or not, that's my only issue with Jimmy Butler, is you lose Steph Curry, and he didn't click into playoff Jimmy mode. He didn't go out there and try to impose his will and try to go out there and score and shoot. Whether or not Giannis was good enough to advance in the last 2 years, and he wasn't, and you know, one of those years he actually missed the whole playoff because he was hurt, but he's at least trying to go out there and be the alpha.
I mean, I think that it's unfair that we do this to players where it's like you have to shoot 1,000 times to show that you're, like I heard Guru earlier today, question his effort. Whoa.
Well, I won't do that.
I mean, my God, like it's not, we got to stop making, this is such an alpha conversation when we do this. We do this to NBA players. You have to shoot. You shoot 27 times or you're a dog. Like you just, you like we're going to act like you're not trying or you're scared or any of these things. You know what's ironic? Really, really ironic. You pointed to, if we're going to small sample size this, do you remember the game that the Warriors won without Steph Curry? Who was it against?
Milwaukee. Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you remember the game that they won in the playoffs without Jimmy Butler? Steph had 36.
Yeah.
So Steph went out there without Jimmy.
But Steph always does that.
Exerted his will.
They're different players in different teams with different game plans against different different opponents. Like I'm not disagreeing with, like, would I love to see Jimmy go score 35? Sure, go score 35. But I'm never gonna say to a star, like, you have to do that tonight, or you're less than, or you're not good enough. Jimmy Butler showed Warrior fans, in my opinion, everything they could have asked for and more. And I'm just not gonna take the final four games and rip apart everything he achieved. I can't do it. I can't in good conscience do that.
I'm not ripping apart everything he achieved, but I'm looking at what he achieved, and the majority of it was with Steph. And when you didn't have Steph, And I get it. It was against Minnesota, who's a really good team. And so, yeah, it was going to be hard for you to win all those games without Steph. But could you have won one game? Could you have been more assertive to try to win one game? Of the four games he played against Minnesota without Steph, there was one game that I thought that he was assertive. And he was the player that you would want to be a $50 million a year guy. When the star goes out, you go out there and you try your level best to pick up the slack, and he did that one of four times. That, to me, is the criticism.
Yeah, I always like when we talk about, like, you know me, whenever we go, oh, he's a $50 million player, so you have to score X, Y, Z. You got all kinds of players who have been paid in the history of this game, and it's not always just to go score 35 points a night. All kinds of players. I mean, and I realize Draymond doesn't make 50, but he makes and has made more than half of that in his career, and we don't even ask him to score 10. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's intricacies to the game that I was very impressed to see the way Jimmy handles. Like, Jimmy is a brilliant basketball player. He's not just a scorer. I thought he showed that every time he suited up. He sees the whole floor. He wants to get other people involved. If I'm Jimmy Butler and I'm looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves and no Steph Curry, one thing I know for sure, I'm not beating that team by myself. I'm not doing that. I'm not at age 35, when they've got two people at 7 feet, they've got a 23-year-old like soaring superstar. I can't go out there and just be like, if I score 35, we'll win. I would strategically be like, I'm gonna have to have some guys hitting threes. I'm going to have some people around the arc hitting threes. And unfortunately, it was really hard for them to find that. And by the way, you have Jonathan Kuminga who comes in, starts playing well. He plays really well, as you and Steve detailed last time he was on, with the ball in his hands, breaking down defenders in a one-on-one format. And you know you're going to need that to go well. So I want to get him involved. So that's all. I feel like sometimes we're asking guys like, dude, be alpha. Be amazing. Take over the game. Except for all these other guys have to get involved too, and they're going to need to play well, and you're going to need to beat a really, really good opponent. It's a hell of a lot for a player to do and figure out on a possession-by-possession basis how he's supposed to do that. And, oh, by the way, he's doing it with teammates he's essentially got zero time with because they played next to no games without Steph. He's brand new to the Bay Area 3 months ago. He played literally almost none with Jonathan Kuminga. And now that's his Robin all of a sudden in the playoffs. I think it's an unfair ask. That's all I'm saying.
I think that it's a very fair ask when you're talking about a guy who's been in the league that long and you look at what he did in game three and he did that very thing. And he took 26 shots and that was the closest that they were in the four games without Steph. So game two was a little bit of a, oh, let's just see what you have. And so Jimmy Butler shot 13 times. Fine. That game was always going to kind of be a loss because you stole one game already. Fine. I'll excuse that. Game three, you come home, and he did the exact thing that I think that it's fair to ask a guy. And you can say that it's unfair for me to put the money into it or not. I believe that when you make that much money, the responsibility for you as a player in that spot is greater than it is for Pods and Quentin Post and Gui Santos and Kuminga and everybody else on that roster. You're the dude. You got brought in. You got that money. And the star is out. Now you go ahead and be the star.
But it didn't work.
It didn't work because he didn't try to do that.
No, you said he did it in game three.
In game three.
And they lost.
Right. But in game four and game five, he didn't do it.
So when you try to adjust and do something different in game four or five.
Right.
And we're trying to get one win.
Sure. In game four and game five, it didn't work even more. Like game three, you were close. And so you go ahead and you try it again in game four and you try it again in game five because you're that dude. You're playoff Jimmy, not his nickname, but it's what you've been. Yeah. You've been a guy on teams that don't have a lot of talent. And this team, you can compare this team to Miami, whatever. You could say Miami's team was better or this team was better. It doesn't matter. Not really.
I think Gabe Vincent
at that time was not the Gabe Vincent that we know now.
He's
so
a better shooter than what the Warriors.
Well, he is now. Yeah. He wasn't in that year in 2022.
Well, they didn't use him in that way, but he was
exactly
that kind of a player.
So like, we don't know what these players are going to be in two or three years when they're actually down the road.
Yeah,
so
they had more scoring. That team absolutely had more scoring.
The point is, Jimmy Butler exerted himself in a way in Miami that he didn't do here, and that's where people are critical.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that at all. You're equating that solely to shots. Like, that's one
points.
Tiny Yeah, that's one tiny portion of the box score of what a leader does. And oh, by the way, I still think the absolute mic drop point of all this is what many have been saying all day, which is that Steph Curry didn't look great with all year long without Jimmy Butler. Steph Curry wasn't able to put this team on his back and turn him into a this, that, or the other. Like we do, there are stars all over the league. Hell, Phoenix has three guys making this money, and they couldn't even make the play-in tournament. And are we now like, oh, Durant sucks, and Booker can't be a this, that, or the other? And that's over a much, much larger sample. Let's go to Marco in Sonoma. We'd love to hear from you on all this. 888-957-9570. Marco, go ahead. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I just think we're giving Butler too much grief. He's been here half a season. He didn't play with some of the guys. And look, prior leading up to us losing at game five, and the young guys, it wasn't Jimmy. And yeah, he's played off Jimmy and all that. But look, he's been here half a season. I'm giving him a pass. I wish we were still in it, but we were broken. Steph's the lifeblood. We didn't have him. We put up a good fight. Let's just regroup for next year. It's a bummer because I would love to see him there. And we only have, you know, Steph, Draymond, and those guys. But it is what it is. And I think Jimmy did a good job of getting plugged in midseason and doing what he did.
Marco, thanks. I won't. And I know I'm not saying that you're forgetting that. Again, we're talking to everybody who's talking to us, too, whether it's text line, YouTube calls, what I listened to earlier today on some of the other shows. But I refuse to let the entire Jimmy Butler experience be this is kind of the way I would say it. I don't think anybody's forgetting what Jimmy Butler brought, regular season and early round of playoffs. But I do think the Jimmy Butler experience for some is now being somewhat defined by the last four games. It was almost as if everything leading up to that was this trial. And then it was like, okay, now we get to see if you can, with Brandon Pajemski and Moses. By the way, don't forget where some of his role players were in the moment that he was asked to do this. Pods until the last game couldn't do a damn thing. Moses Moody couldn't even find the court with a map. And then Jonathan Kuminga gets thrown in, who he's not played with. All of these guys were playing
Buddy.
Very poorly. Buddy Hield, thank you. Kind of sort of a series. He was good in game one when Steph was still there. And then after that, not really much. Like, he got nothing in terms of help from anyone else.
That's Batman. All the more reason why he needed to step up and try and do more on his own.
You can't do it. You can't win basketball games by yourself.
Well, can't win basketball games by shooting it nine times when you don't have your best player on the team. And so that's where, for me, this whole conversation goes back to the idea of Giannis. And I'm not going to disrespect Jimmy Butler, because I think if Steph is here and Jimmy and Draymond and you have a whole season of that, it can work, because Jimmy Butler is clearly your two, and when you lose your one, if Jimmy Butler's your two, well, he doesn't want to be the one. He's not wired to be that one. He did not show you this series that he wanted to be that one.
Jimmy Butler is not wired
to
be
Kuminga
a one.
Jonathan Kuminga outscored Jimmy Butler in the games that Steph Curry missed against Minnesota.
Right, because that, in some ways, I believe to have probably been strategic, because Jimmy realizes, I can score 40, but even if I do that, like, someone else is going to need to score 60. I've got to get my people involved, or we don't have much chance.
Well, you lost all four games anyway.
You can't say that those four games don't define Jimmy Butler and in the next sentence say he's not wired to be a one. Guy's been a one in this league for 13 years.
When and where?
Other places. All
exactly.
Other places
years
that he's
ago.
Been.
And so now,
yes,
I'm
so
not,
we're going to
define
that by a week.
Is. I'm defining what he has been without Steph Curry. They went 1-6, and in this series, when you needed somebody to step up and be that dude, he did not take on the offense on his shoulders.
He did not. That does not mean he could not. That does not mean he cannot. He did
not.
That's
my opinion. Yeah. He did not, and my opinion is that he will not, and he would not. That's my opinion.
And that's fine to have it as an opinion, but I would like you to then give me the waiver to say you're defining Jimmy Butler in his time with the Warriors based on those four games.
It's the seven games, and they went one and six without Steph Curry.
Why are the other three even relevant?
Why are they not relevant? So they played Atlanta,
because
they played Miami, both on the road.
Right.
Steph didn't play, and in neither game did he exert himself as the, I want to take this game over because we don't have Steph, and I want to really be the alpha scorer, and he didn't do it.
So why have we not defined Steph Curry by what he was prior to Jimmy's arrival? When the team had a losing record.
He won four titles.
They had a losing record. Right. Jimmy Butler, well, no, you don't get to bring in all the other years.
Sure.
Because now we got to talk about Jimmy again.
We can.
And what he's done through all the other years. And if we get the whole career, then how on earth can you say Jimmy Butler's not wired to be a one?
He's not anymore. I mean, he had a chance in these games to be the one, and he wasn't. Steph Curry was the one all year, and whether or not
and they had a losing record without
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they had a losing record.
I don't know if all those games are the games that he played, that Steph Curry played, but
the
you know,
Warriors without Jimmy Butler this year had a losing record.
Right, but you're talking about Steph Curry. So is he held accountable for the games that he didn't play?
No. I'm talking about the ones that he did play.
Right.
Steph Curry, in games with the Warriors this year that did not have Jimmy, did not have a playoff record, did not make the play-in tournament. Do we not? Like, do we get to use that and say he's now not wired to be a one?
Well, he is wired to be the one, and he was the one. And whether or not they won every game.
Not to win enough games.
Not all the games, but I'll look at his record when he actually played, if you want to, you know, parse it that way, because he didn't play in every game.
Played in almost all of them.
He played a lot of them.
Yeah,
sure.
He didn't miss a lot of games.
Right.
You know, I'm talking, and again, I'm talking only like pre-Jimmy. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries are taking on the Washington Mystics. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Kevin Dan and Sophia Jones, they're fantastic. Check them out. They're going to have the call, and you can watch the games on KPIX Plus. Pre-game starts at 6:30. We're also sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, and continue to take your phone calls on this 888-957-9570. Stink, Mark Schlereth, about an hour, 20 minutes away. This is Weathered and Dibs.